Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast He Stutters, She Asks Him, the occasional series where I get a chance to talk to some amazing men who stutter. You can find this podcast on the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, at www.stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today I have the opportunity to talk with a friend that I've met at the last couple of NSA conferences, National Stuttering Association, and we've also communicated through social media often over the last couple of years. So I'm excited to get to know, and I hope I say this correctly, Hannon.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh. So I'm so glad to have you here with us today. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm well. I'm very pleased to be here and pleased to speak with you. I'm feeling nervous, as you know, we were speaking earlier, but I'm okay. It's really nice speaking to you, and I want to say again that your blog has made a huge, huge difference in my life.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that and sharing that. It's important to get feedback from people out there that are either reading the blog or listening to the podcast. So I really do appreciate that. To get us started formally, could you introduce yourself to us and probably say your name correctly and tell people where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy?
Sure. So my name is Hanan Hurwitz. I understand that first sound is rather difficult for people in America, England, I guess. So Hanan, Hannon, it doesn't matter. It's fine. I live in Israel. I was born and raised in South Africa, where I lived for the first 21 years of my life, and then I moved to Israel. I've stuttered for, I guess, as long as I can remember. I'm very pleased with how I'm doing these days in terms of my stutter, in terms of managing it. And again, that's because of all the wonderful support and information that's out there. I'm an electrical engineer by training. I work at a company in Israel called Servotronics, where we make servo control equipment. And we sell all over the world. I've been at the company for the last 19, almost 20 years, and I've done a variety of jobs there. I've been very, very fortunate being there. People are very, very accepting of my stutter, and mostly it's been a lot worse than it is now. Now my speech feels very, very easy, and it's fine, and it's great, and I'm very, very fortunate that it is like that. I've done a lot of jobs at the company, including having responsibility for jobs where a lot of speaking is required. And that has been stressful, but also fortunate, because I've had to face it and deal with it, which is good. It's, you know, facing things and dealing with them helps us cope, helps us overcome.
Sure does. Sometimes even to the point where it forces us to deal with things that we might not ordinarily do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't always happy about speaking with people or making phone calls, but well, I was never happy about it. Let's make that quite clear. But you're forced into it, and then you're forced to cope. And I must admit, for there have been many, many times when it's been extremely, extremely stressful. In fact, mostly. But I guess I'm just too stubborn, and I did it. I'm fortunate in that way. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you've been with the same company doing a variety of different jobs for 19 years, and they've always been accepting of your stutter. Do you voluntarily disclose that you stutter, or do you advertise and stutter openly, or how do people know?
People know because I stutter. I advertised for the first time about 2 years ago. All my career, I've done the best I can to hide my stutter.
Mm.
I haven't been very successful at doing that. Because I couldn't. So I'm not covert in the classic sense that people wouldn't know I stutter. People definitely know I stutter. But I would do everything I can to hide it. I would avoid words. I would work around words. My mind is always looking forward in the things that I want to say and trying to find substitutions for the words on which I imagine that I will block or have trouble on. So people definitely know I stutter. In terms of advertising, after my first NSA conference, which was in 2010, I wrote an email to a number of people in the company whom I trust and told them where I'd been. And the response was really overwhelmingly positive and supportive. And that has encouraged me to gradually share and advertise more and more.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. Were you surprised at their positive response?
I don't think I was surprised. The people I wrote to, I mean, I chose the list of people very carefully,
mm-hmm.
and they are all people that I knew well and I trust and I respect. I was overwhelmed by their response, by their support. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the level of support and I don't know about understanding, but the support that I received.
Mm. That's great. That's great. That must have given you real confidence to continue on your path to maybe keep going to the NSA conferences and to just continue being who you are as a person who stutters, I would imagine.
Yes. Absolutely. I find that the journey, the path of accepting myself, accepting my stutter, is an incremental one. There are small steps along the way, and I believe that that's the right way of approaching it. We've got to take small steps. Each small step is reinforced, and then we're stronger and we can go to the next step. So the first advertising and the response I got definitely enabled me to carry on and become more and more open about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you emailed these individuals about the experience that you had, and have you had an opportunity to talk openly with any of the people that you work with about your experiences and the incremental steps that you've made?
Yes, I have. But really, it's only now after my third NSA conference, and of course all the stuttering support groups that I belong to, and the support I've received from others. Only now after my third conference have I started actually speaking with people about it. So, you know, originally it was an email and I came back and people said well done and it was nice to hear, and I left it at that. I didn't carry on talking. The shame and the embarrassment and the guilt and the fear were still far too strong. Two years later I feel better, and over the last couple of weeks I've actually been speaking with people about it. And what I feel is a very, very important point is that it's a slow process. We really need, and I'm speaking again about me, about my experience, we really need to give ourselves room to and allow ourselves to progress step by step. And it's okay. It's okay if it takes a long time. It's okay if there's small steps. There are small victories. I feel wonderful about it. The 2 years doesn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And actually, in comparison to our lifetimes, 2 years is nothing.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, I'm 49 years old. For a lifetime, I've been building up these walls around me to try to protect myself. So breaking it down, even a little bit over 2 years, is wonderful.
Have you reached the point where you're no longer trying to scan ahead to find substitute words or do all that mental gymnastics, as I like to call it, or do you still find yourself occasionally still doing some of that?
I like the term that you use, the mental gymnastics. It describes accurately what we're doing. The answer is I still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a long way from being rid of that, and that's okay. What I'm trying to do is not allow that. In other words, go to the word I want to say and say it. In other words, not avoid as well. I want to avoid avoiding, as they say.
Yeah.
when I can do that, my level of stress goes down tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
The mental gymnastics, as you call it, is exhausting. I'm sure everybody feels it.
Yes. It sure is, and that's why I call it that, because it just seems, in my experience, there's so much that goes on in my head for what seems to be forever before I say, you know, a 1 second utterance, and people have no idea that that's sometimes going on. And I think that's what contributes to the exhaustion, number one, but number two, sometimes or even often not being fully engaged in the conversation that we're having because we're so focused on what's going on in our head as to how we're going to come off sounding and looking to the listener that often, in my experience, and it's fortunately been more in the past than it is in the present, but often I would have no idea what was going on in the conversation I was engaged in because I was focusing on the gymnastics instead of engaging. Have you ever experienced that?
Only all the time. It's absolutely amazing to hear you say that, because that's exactly what I felt as well. What I still feel. I mean, there are certainly there have been many instances, many conversations where I lose track of what's going on because I'm so involved in my head, you know, whether it's trying to figure out what the next word I need to avoid is, or trying to figure out what the people next to me are thinking about me.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, and then I used to worry about what would people think because it looks like I'm not paying attention, you know, or, you know, would they think that, you know, like that I'm stupid because it appears like I forgot, you know, either what the question was or, you know, forgot what I was going to contribute to the conversation. So the effect even sometimes would multiply a bit.
Yes. The effect is multiplied and amplified, and I don't know about you, but I've had many experiences where, for example, I've been asked my name and I can't say it, and the people make a remark about me forgetting my name, or I get stuck in a sentence and the people ask if I've forgotten what I wanted to say. And those feelings come back in these conversations and just amplify themselves, amplify the fear, and amplify our engagement in our own thoughts and own mental gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never really had trouble saying my name, which has always puzzled me as I got more into the stuttering journey myself. I've never really struggled with saying my name, which begins with a P. However, I always have trouble with just about every other word that begins with a P. So I've always been really surprised with that because many of us who stutter seem to have trouble with our names, and that's not been my problem. But I just, like I demonstrated, you know, saying problem or possible or you know, other words that begin with P. I'm not going to say give me trouble because I don't really think that it gives me trouble anymore, but I've never experienced that. But I have once or twice, like on the phone, when I've when I used to answer the phone and have to identify the company where we work, I've had a hesitation or a pause, and I've had people say, "What, did you forget where you work?" So I can yeah, definitely relate. I think we all can to that, and that's, for me, that was always very humiliating.
Yes, it is. I mentioned it here. I was actually amazed when I met other people who stutter, and I started hearing the same stories, the same experiences from them. And hopefully people who listen or listening to this podcast, hopefully there'll be people will recognize the same phenomenon with themselves and be encouraged that they're not alone, because they are awful, awful phenomenon, and they are very humiliating.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say you've met other people who stutter, is this an is Israel?
Mainly in America at the NSA conferences.
Okay. So, sorry.
No. I'm sorry. I'm starting now to get more involved with the community of people who stutter in Israel. This is something which is new for me, and also part of the journey of being able to handle new things and new challenges one step at a time, kind of thing. But anyway, back to question, it was mainly people in the USA at the NSA conferences who I met and exchanged experiences with.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in contact with a lot of the people in America from the conferences, between the conferences? Do you stay in touch with folks?
Yes, via Facebook, via StutL. I guess those are the there's the covert list, which has been wonderful for me to gain more understanding about myself via other people sharing what's happening with them. So those are three mechanisms, three channels of social media have been invaluable.
Mm. And what about this Skype? Actually, talking with other people who stutter. Have you engaged like this and actually had conversations with other people that you've met that stutter?
I had my first Skype conversation with another person who stutters only about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
a woman I met at the last NSA conference, and it's great. I'm in a way I'm overcome by a feeling of nervousness. I'm trying to understand exactly why. Well, I understand why, because I'm speaking on Skype and it's a big deal. So yes, but only a couple of weeks ago, and again it reinforces how, for me anyway, it's a journey and there are stages and step by step, and it's okay.
Mm. Now, you mentioned again the nervousness, talking over Skype, and obviously this podcast is going to be posted on the internet shortly. So this is like a very public disclosure, sort of, about your experiences and about your journey. Is that what's causing a little bit of anxiety, or is it more just talking over the phone type of thing?
I think it's more just the talking over the phone type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
and a conditioned response. I'm conditioned, as I'm sure we all are, to have a lot of anxiety when we're talking over the phone. Of course, I've met you. We've exchanged a number of emails and comments. I'm not nervous about talking with you. It's the experience of the talking over media.
Mm.
About the exposure, I guess I'm nervous. I'm excited about it in many ways, because I hope that my experience will be of value to other people, as other people's sharing of experiences have been of absolutely incalculable value to me. in my journey and managing my stuttering. Mm. So there's this excitement about it as well. And nervousness, will it go down well? Will it be helpful? That type of thing.
Mm. Well, if my experiences with having these conversations with other people, men and women who stutter, count for anything, I can say yes, absolutely. Your sharing and your story is going to be of some value to others. You may not know that. You may not know for whom it may have that impact, yeah. But I think there's tremendous, tremendous value in sharing our stories. And I think that's what all of this really is all about. Sharing our stories personally when we meet each other at the conferences and listening to each other, present at the workshops, and then following up using the social media, I think there's just a huge relief, and maybe that's not the right word, but a huge relief in hearing that other people have very similar stories to us.
Yes, I think that your choice of the word relief is excellent. It's exactly that. That's what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
I felt relief, and I felt absolutely. I wanted to make a point.
Yes, please.
Sometimes it's about sharing our experiences and our stories. Often I feel that. No, let me try explain it in a different way. I feel that my speech right now in this podcast, in this conversation, is great. I'm really happy with the level of fluency or the level of stuttering, actually the level of struggle or lack of it that I'm having. And I wanted to say that it really, really hasn't always been like this.
Mm.
Not a long time ago. Go back a year, go back 2 years, which is not a long time. I wouldn't be speaking like this at all. There'd be a tremendous amount of tension, a tremendous amount of struggle. The tension and the struggle would make the stuttering a lot worse. So speaking as I am now and I'm very, very comfortable with it, it's new for me. It hasn't always been like this. And I'm very, very grateful to the entire community. Again, I say it all the time, I wouldn't be able to do this without everybody sharing their stories and me understanding that I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that insight of having realized that you're not alone, do you think part of that is what has contributed to you having less tense and less struggled speech?
Absolutely. It's the main point. I feel that everything else builds on that, on understanding I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's tremendous for people to hear, because there's people out there, I'm sure, and you probably know as well, that may still be isolated, may not have found communities of support, and may not have ever been exposed or participated in therapy of any sort. So to just know that talking with other people and sharing can have that type of impact, that's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And again, in my opinion, it's key. It's more important than anything else. Coming out of my first NSA conference where there were I don't know, 700-800 people in Cleveland in 2010. I don't know, 600. It doesn't matter. It's a huge amount of people. That's been key, realizing that I'm not alone, and for everybody else, realize that you're not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of us out there. Amazing people who stutter. I'm absolutely blown away by the quality of people I've met, and absolutely amazed by what other people who stutter have achieved. It's inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it's all about when we get together, and just the sheer power of the numbers of us coming together in the same environment. Yeah, inspiring almost seems like a understatement, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to look for long, flowery words and expressions, but inspiring does it.
It's very powerful to see people, particularly people that come to the community for the first time and, you know, visibly look anxious and apprehensive and unsure, and then, you know, a day or two later, you see those same people, they suddenly just feel like they're at home. And to see that transformation occur just simply by being amongst other people who stutter in that safe environment, you see what the power of support and community does.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I don't know if there's anybody listening who's never been to a support group or a conference. I urge you to do so. It's the best thing you can ever do for yourself.
Now, you said your first conference was 3 years ago in 2010 in Cleveland. What was that like for you when you first arrived there as a first timer, and also not from America? I mean, what was going through your head that first day, if you can recall, which I'm sure you can?
I think that I was so anxious and so nervous and so scared that all rational thought is completely blocked out. I was really, really anxious. I had only gotten up the courage a few months before to look at the word stutter and start to investigate on the internet what information is out there. You know, seriously, in March of 2010 was more or less the first time I could look at the word stutter or start to look at the word stutter without cringing and shrinking away in fear and shame. So anyway, arriving at the conference, I didn't know what to expect. I heard other people stutter, of course, and I was incredibly scared of stuttering. I was still, especially on the first day, trying my hardest, my damnest to hide my stutter. In 2012, as I approached the conference, of course, I was in a very different frame of mind. I actually set myself a goal of stuttering. I said, no, I don't need to not stutter. I need to stutter. And that helps. It reduces the tension. Yes, I'm a person who stutters. I'm not a person who speaks fluently. And go ahead and stutter. It's fine.
So did you achieve that goal that you set set for yourself?
Yes, I did. I did. And it's amazingly liberating. It reduces the tension, the internal tension tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Which then in turn must also allow you to stutter more freely, right? If the internal tension is reduced or eliminated.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can stutter more freely. I can stutter more easily. There's a lot less struggle. Speech becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had the opportunity to participate in any type of formal speech therapy?
As a child, I was sent to speech therapy for many, many years. Up until the time that I left South Africa when I was ready 21, I guess since the age of 10 or something, maybe even before, until the age of 21, I was going to speech therapy almost every week. Total waste of time. I remember being in the therapy room and having to read from a book, and I remember the fear of not reading properly and the need for approval and just wanting to get out of there and being relaxed, because in the room I was afraid of the reaction of the therapist. I was afraid of not meeting the expectations of the therapist, and I didn't have a clue as to how I could meet the expectations. It just seemed to be random whether I would be able to or not.
Mm.
So and since then I haven't sought any therapy, any speech therapy as such, and I've been really, really scared of going back to that environment.
Well, that was in South Africa, of course, right?
Yeah.
So are there support and resources, therapy available in Israel?
Yes, there is. There's a national association of people who stutter in Israel. And the association is affiliated with the International Stuttering Association,
okay.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I met a couple of people a while back, and there was one guy in particular whom I've occasionally exchanged messages with. He invited me to join a closed group on Facebook of people who stutter in Israel. And this was after the last NSA conference too. So through that group, I've met in a virtual manner a few other people who stutter. There is a course held at one of the hospitals in Israel on precision fluency shaping. So I did a course in precision fluency shaping in Israel many years ago. I understand why people would teach it and why people would go to it. And it's fine. Personally, I don't think that's the answer for people who stutter. I'm trying to be cautious because I'm not attacking it. I understand it, but from my experience, I don't think that's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that you brought that up, because I was going to ask as like a wind down question. At this point in your life, do you even think that you need therapy of any type?
I have been to to psychotherapy a lot in my life, and that has been extremely beneficial. The process of getting to know myself and be aware of who I am, what I do, what motivates me, be aware of the source of my fears has been very, very valuable. I will probably, I don't see why I wouldn't, and I can see opportunities for me seeking additional such therapy sessions in the future. As far as speech therapy, it's interesting. I'm really, really afraid of it still. Well, I think that if I could find someone who would practice therapy based, say, on avoidance. Reduction based on Van Riper or Sheehan or Siskind's teachings, I would probably like to explore that, but only then, not learning how to shape a particular sound or not practicing the k sound, because that particular sound is of difficulty to me. No. So it's something I need to think about, but not something that I feel I need right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long answer. I'm not sure if I answered you or not. I'm sorry.
Sorry's necessary, and you did, because it was a simple question, but not necessarily one that could be answered simply. It's complex, and yeah. I think for many people that's a complex thought, because you know therapy conjures up so many memories for many of us that I don't think it is a question that can be answered without some real thought. And you did that, so I appreciate that. It's not a simple thing. And just to piggyback on what you've said, I too have been involved in psychotherapy in different periods of my life, and it's very valuable to be able to have that space and time with somebody that's non-judgmental, that allows you that opportunity to look inward and you know, figure out what makes you tick. And I definitely think that that's such a valuable experience to have.
Yeah, it is. I've absolutely got no shame about having psychotherapy. I think it's amazing. It's done me a lot of good. I want to say, though, that my belief is that I want to emphasize that I don't feel that stuttering is a psychological problem, but for sure I have a lot of psychological issues that developed as a result of the stuttering and exacerbated it.
Mm-hmm.
So dealing with my psyche has been very, very valuable, helping me understand myself and helping me understand other people. Very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point that you made, because I have participated in psychotherapy not because of stuttering. It's I initiated it for other reasons, but certainly stuttering came up because it's a part of who we are. It's part of that fabric that we're made of, and I don't think that we who stutter can talk about some issues and not have stuttering come up.
Yeah, I agree. My first experience with psychotherapy was about 20 years ago or more, and then I went into it specifically to deal with the stuttering at the time when I thought that it's, I was taught and I was told by everyone that it's a psychological problem. So I went to deal with it. I learned a lot about myself without it having any effect at all on the stuttering, but it was valuable. In later sessions in life, of course, the stuttering came up, since the stuttering is so much a part of me, and it affects everything I do in life. So of course it's a part of me.
Mm-hmm. Does it really affect everything you do in life at this point in your life?
Wow.
You just said that.
Yeah. The answer is yes. And the wow is because I'm cautiously hopeful that I'm entering a period where the answer is no, where I can start to do things without the stuttering part of me having a veto say in my choices.
Oh, I definitely like the way you said that.
Well, that's the way it's been until now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we are approaching almost 50 minutes. It's amazing how fast time goes when we're having such a good conversation. And I always have this dilemma when I'm chatting with somebody because the time just flies. But I just want to thank you so much for agreeing to do something like this, chatting with us and sharing parts of your story, because I know to some degree this is a little out of your comfort zone. So I appreciate that.
It's a great pleasure, and I thank you very much for this opportunity. For me, it's a wonderful opportunity to speak with you, to share my story, and to also have an opportunity to go out of my comfort zone. So it's been great.
Yeah, it has. And
Thank you very much.
I'm glad to have gotten to know you a little bit more, and I think that listeners are going to be really glad to have heard your story. So thanks again.
Okay, you're welcome. And you, Pam.
And this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.